After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, approached, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were shaken with fear of him, and became like dead men. Then the angel said to the women in reply, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are seeking Jesus the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Then they went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce this to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So the Lord is indeed truly risen for us, and we celebrate that in the great night of nights with candles lit with the brand new Easter candle. And we sang, "Light of Christ, thanks be to God." And our Lord is indeed with us. He's conquered sin and death, and there was a great earthquake. The heavens and the earth declare the resurrection. Earthquake, portents of the sky, the earth, all these things happening at once. And the earthquake is always associated with end times. See that in Isaiah and Ezekiel. So the resurrection has the character of a foretaste of the final judgment. God has judged the world and vindicated his own Son, declaring him to be innocent and the rightful King of the universe. Now, I've always been amazed with this, these angels that are always taking place here at the resurrection in the various Gospels. And the angels of heaven, they scare the soldiers to death. And the risen Lord has conquered sin and death. They're petrified. And the way Matthew writes it, is as if that the women show up, and then there's the earthquake, and then the soldiers are scared, and then this blaze of light comes down, and it's an angel, and the angel looks at him, and the first thing he says is, "Don't be afraid." I mean, you'd be afraid. I would be afraid. When angels show up, they mean business. And they shake it up. And so he says, "Do not be afraid. You look for who? The crucified." It's a new title. He did not say, "You look for Jesus," or "You look for Jesus of Nazareth," or "You look for the Galilean," or "You look for the Son of Man," or "You look for the Son of David." He said, "You look for the crucified. He's not here. He has been raised. He has conquered terror, torture, and death, and now the angel of God proclaims this Son of God as the crucified." It's the new title. He's crucified for us. For 2,000 years, been telling and proclaiming the gospel. He's been crucified for us. He's taken this instrument of terror that one of the greatest empires of the world has ever known, that everybody wants to emulate, that everybody wishes they could be emperor of, and he is just crushing it, coming out of that tomb as the crucified one. He's taken this instrument of death, and now it's the instrument of life. Where Isaac is the imperfect shadow of a sacrifice, which we heard from Genesis, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. The angel protects Moses and Hebrew slaves so they can get to the water. Can you imagine the trust? Go towards the water. And like the soldiers are coming, go to the sea. You're trapped. It's over. Angels are there, and they're going to hold them off for a while. The trusting God to follow those words. And now an angel directs women to tell the disciples to go to Galilee, where they will receive the commission to make disciples of all nations through baptism. So the angel has that mission for those women, and he meets them along the way. It's like he tells them again, go tell them. They want to get the point across. Another thing the angel does is, look at that tomb. You look for Jesus crucified. He's not there. They must witness that before they go running through town. And they're the first witnesses. They're like proto-disciples. Mary Magdalene is, she's a proto-disciple. It means like the first disciple to the disciples. And they go back and they say, he has risen, or he is risen. They will go to Galilee. So why do you seek the living one among the dead? The dead is the past. The dead is the answer where we come up short. The dead searches for something in this world to fill the hole in the human heart. The dead try to create in their own image. The dead keep looking backwards. Sin and denial could not choke divine love that has risen from the dead. God is our Redeemer and provides a way out because his love will never leave us, which is what we heard in Isaiah 54. The greater the sin, the less the belief, and yet the greater the repentance from sin, the greater the belief. When we recognize that, we're honest with ourselves, and we receive the Lord and his message again. It's like, I'm going to trust. I'm going to open up, and I want that. I don't want to look towards the dead. I want to look towards the life. Do we want that life? The glad news of redemption was given to a woman who had fallen, Mary Magdalene, and to Peter, whom she spoke to, who denied our Lord, but both of them repented. Each received a new heart and a new spirit, and the words of Ezekiel are revealed in them, the disciples, and a host of others, and us. Ezekiel will give you a new heart, a new spirit. He will sprinkle living water upon you. You will have new life. And they waited for centuries. And they have received the Messiah. And we have Jesus now. And we want new hearts. We want faith. We want to look forward. We want to look toward life and to live life. In darkness, there's solitude, confusion, a host of bad decisions. God, the Holy Spirit, will sprinkle clean water upon us, for the water and blood from the side of Christ has formed his church with baptism and Eucharist. So joy and life and hope are gifts from God. Joy can only be given. And the risen Lord gives us joy, true life. And we are already held forever in the love of the one to whom all power in heaven and on earth has been given. So we seek that which is above. This light shines right there, was the only light when I sang that exultant when I began. And we exult God. I can imagine we've been chanting that exultant since like the 7th century. I mean, the church exults in the Lord God in this night. And I pray that we are able to do that as well, to exult in the Lord and to give glory to God, our Savior. Because those women ran back fast. And when they ran, they wanted to see them and tell them, he is risen, the tomb is empty. But before they did, when Jesus shows up and he says, they fell at his feet and did him homage. And you only do that for the king. That's how you greet a king in the ancient world. They fall at his feet. And so here Jesus is the King of Kings for those women, for those disciples. They will run. It is something totally new because they saw him die, if even from a distance. Is he the king of our lives? Because it's another Easter for us. It's another year. And he wants us. He yearns for us. He wants us to run to others and tell them. May we be open to the Spirit of God that calls us on and fills us up to go towards him with the incarnation, the Word made flesh that is risen with his wounds, that will speak to those women and to those disciples numerous times and to great crowds. And may we be open to that in our own hearts so that we may be sprinkled anew with the Lord and seek his will in our lives and give him the glory.